Nishmas Kol Chayim. We say on Shabbos an extra piyut in the Nusach HaTfilah called Nishmas. It's very important for this week's parasha, because this parasha we mentioned Shabbos. The very first thing we learn in this week's parasha is Vayakal Moshe Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Ela Hadvarim Hashasi Hashem Leimar Sheishes Yamim Yaseh Melachah Vayom Hashvi Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha. Right, so the first thing in this week's parasha is Shabbos. And we're also learning the Inyanei Pesach. And what do we append to the end of the Hallel? Nishmas. Nishmas is recited on the night of Pesach at the Seder. So the question is, who is the author of Nishmas? When did we start saying Nishmas? What is the meaning of Nishmas? Why do we say it on Shabbos? Why do we say it by the Seder? And all the various halachos and sugulois that relate to Pesach. So there are many svarim that discuss this topic. I'm today using this svarim called Moadim L'Simcha, which we use here many times by Rabbi Freund, Rav Tuvia Freund. He has a very nice supplement to the volume on Chodesh Nisan, Chelik Beis, on Nishmas Kol Chai. He first gets into a discussion, who is the author of Nishmas? So he quotes from the Rakeach. The Rakeach, he doesn't say where the Rakeach. The Rakeach and the Mordechai in Sefer HaParadis. Sefer HaParadis, the Likud of things that Rashi wrote, all three are in agreement. The Rakeach, the Mordechai, and the Sefer HaParadis, Rashi, they all live approximately at the same time. Maybe Rakeach was a little bit later, and they all say the same thing. The Rakeach was much later. Rashi, so at the same time as Rashi. Rashi is also, you know? 100, 200 years later, okay, so 100, 200 years later. So they all say the same thing, that it was written, composed by the Anshei Knesses Hagedola. You can't ignore Mordechai, you can't ignore Rakech, and you can't ignore a Rashi who tell us that's where the Nusach has originated from. However, there are many other Svarim, I don't have all the sources here, that connect Nishmas to a Christian. I don't know if I call him a Christian. Many people say this. They call him by many names. Shimon Peter Chamor. The derogatory name. Peter Simon or... Peter. What? Simon Peter. Peter, who they call Shimon Peter Chamor. Or they call Paul or Peter. Or Peter, one of the very... The founders of Christianity. Of Christianity as we know it, I don't know, today... But Christianity went through many different versions, from the time, how many Yeshus were there? How many Yeshu Hanochis were there? There were at least two, right? Some even say there were three. There were many Tukufais in people who were known to be Yeshu Hanotri, and this Yeshu had Talmidim, and this fellow, Shimon Petach Amar, Simon Peter, or maybe it was Paul, I don't know, I'm not familiar in the whole history of Christianity. He was the one who was mechaber, this beautiful tefillah called Nishmas. That's shocking. Okay, that is utterly shocking. How can it be that, you know, today if someone would be like that, and it would be burnt, it would be destroyed, it wouldn't come into the Beis HaKnesses? So the answers are, either he wrote this, if this person indeed sincerely converted to Christianity, he wrote this before. He wrote this at a time when everything was A-OK. Now, Rachman al-Assad, they have Seferim today who have gone off the Derech. So, and we have people have in their possession tefillin before the error, right? Before the common error. But we have today in our possession two of tefillin. And Rachman al-Assad, they know for a fact that the one who wrote the tefillin or the mezuzah, even the Megillah, Megillah is probably even more common. The person who wrote it went off the derech. He left the fold. Are you allowed to use the mezuzah, the tulim, the Megillah? The answer is, well, it depends. If he wrote it, if you know for a fact that he wrote it before he went off the derech, absolutely. It's a 100% kosher. So too, if indeed there is an issue with this person, this Tana, this very holy person who did leave the fold, if it's Taka true,
I'm coming to that,
then of course there is no issue. And certainly there is no issue according to those who have a tradition that he never really went off the Derech, he was remained in the greatest state of Kedusha from beginning to end, and he was required to do this by the Bez, by the Sanhedrin, the Anshei Knesses HaGedola, because Christianity was destroying Klal Yisrael. There's a whole long story to this. Simon Peter was a Tana who was forced by his chaverim to go undercover. To go undercover and to take the people who were maminim in Yeshu.
Could be,
I don't know, could be.
Undercover agent.
Undercover, and they took these people who you could not tell the difference. They davened on Shabbos, they were tefillin, and they learned Torah. The only thing was they had a hashkafa that Yeshu HaNotri is the real deal. They had this false hashkafa, which the Chazal at that time determined is sakonis nefashis for the continuity of Klal Yisrael, and they had to resort to an extreme measure by taking a Tana and having him gather these people and taking them off all the way off to the left, changing it from Shabbos to Sunday, telling them to not do certain mitzvahs in order to clearly identify who these people are, so that they should not poison the purity of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should remain v'netzach Yisrael lo yishakeh. So this person was undercover, he did this, he was never did any Avera in his whole life, he remained a Kaddish Vatar, and he composed Nishmas, and some learned that his Yartzad, in Shulchan Aruch, we observe on the ninth day of Teves, in Shulchan Aruch it's recorded as a Yom Tzom, that is his Yartzad, that's the day that he died, and we observe it as a tribute to him for what he has done for Klal Yisrael, he saved Klal Yisrael. So many attribute the writing of Nishmas to this person. That's a very controversial thing to say. And here he has here in this sefer, which I'm not going to go into all the details, he brings a lot of sources that thoroughly reject this as having any legitimacy. To say such a thing is just not true. It was written either by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola or it was written by the Rabbanan Savaroy.
What year about was it?
I guess year zero. Well, if Anshei Knesset HaGadola pretty much is year zero. Right, it's the first
same
century.
Time.
It's the first century. Pretty much the first century, Anshei Knesset HaGadola.
Much before.
No.
By
I don't think much before.
About two.
It was a long tkufa. No, no.
About 200 years.
No. Anshei Knesset HaGadola is the end of the is right. The beginning of the Baal Sheni. Right. But it's, yeah, I take it back. I made a mistake.
At
least 100 years. At least 100 years.
Maybe
100 years.
How long did Tzadik,
you're right.
Who was the
Kain Gadol? Okay, I made a mistake. You're right.
Yeah,
Chagai is the Chayim Melech. You're right.
That was Alexander the Great's time.
So when was the end of?
So it's like 300 BCE, 300 years before the year zero. In Echonami, that's way, way back. Others say it was much right. That's way before. If you learn that it came from Paul, or whatever Simon Peter, then it's obviously dealing with year zero. That's the tkufa.
He may have had it from the Ayin. You don't know.
Possibly, it could be how many revisions, how many people contributed to the writing. There are many nuschos, there are many nusach svar, nusach ashkenaz. Obviously, the nusach has been tampered with quite a bit. There have been many additions, many, many revisions, and it seems that the way we have it today in our Sidurim has come to us through a long, long history of many different people have had and edited and input upon what it says. Some want to say it was written now. We know you write in the Nusach, the end of the Nusach, it says there's Yitzchak. Befi Yesharim. How does it end here?
Yitzchak and
Rivka. Only Nusach Svar. Nusach Ashkenaz, we only have Rivka on the Yamim Neiroyim. So how does it end over here? Befi Yesharim Tisrei. Mama Sif say Sadikim Tis Barach Vilshon Chasidim Tis Kadosh Vikarav Kiddushim Tis Halal. So you spell out the Rosh Tevos of those two columns, you will see in the series Yitzchak and Rivka. So believe it or not, someone is saying the Mechaber's name was Yitzchak and his wife's name was Rivka. And it was common in ancient times that when you write a piyut, when you write a zemer, you include your name.
Right.
It's unheard of. Not all the kinois and zemirois all have an acrostic. Somewhere in the Mizmar with the name, your signature. So someone has said that when it says that we ascribe very mystical things, Yitzchak and Rivka, only Yitzchak and the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then we switch the words around, that it should be Yitzchak and Rivka. We ascribe very mystical things that we're referring to Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Imenu. Guess what? Calm down. Not necessarily. It could very well be that the person who wrote this piyut, the person, whether he lived during the time of Anshei Knesset HaGadola or a later point in time, his name was Yitzchak. and his wife's name was Rivka. Yeah, and his wife, a woman, you never see a woman. So that's why Nusach Ashkenaz, her name is not there. We don't change it around. Maybe that was the original Yitzchak. So some suggest, he writes here in the Mardim Tzimchi, he has source for all of this, of course. I'm not telling you all the sources because I can't memorize all the sources, but he suggests, he has source that suggests that the person, it was not, we're not referring to Yitzchak and Rivka, we're referring over here Stam to a person whose name was Yitzchak, whose wife was Rivka. It's unique in that a woman here is contributing to the writing of a piyut. A woman, how often do you have a woman's name part of a piyut? Or maybe this means he and his wife. But we don't have a nusach. We don't include a nusach in a chanami. Okay, in a chanami. So this is something which is very different. Now, right. Some want to say, what? Right. Who says this idea that I just told you? Let me give the answer. Perish harakeach. Okay, the rakeach says this. Hevi sheyesh oimim shaketa mipi yisharim. The keta yitzok verivka tiknuhu. No, I jumped. That's. I'm sorry. I'm telling you the wrong thing. One second. I'm getting to his. That's. Let's see. One second. Hachida b'ditzutzei oros al hazor hakodesh hagodesh al pesach kashem tzotzei kashem shema rav chosid shelakai kolos v'ad zeh p'nisob. Let's see. Okay, let me see over here. Shechem eduma shaloshen zehu loshna kalir. That's another interpretation. I don't know, I have to go back and find all the stories. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. Okay, some say there was a person whose name was Yitzchak and Rivka.
I don't know.
The Rakeach says something fascinating.
Yeah, but I'd like to know where it says
it. You want to know that source? So give me, after we finish the shoot, I'll find a few. Unless I can find it right now. I don't know, I can't find it. It's here somewhere. Okay, another interpretation, this is really shocking, is that the one who wrote this, the Nusach of the Fi Yisharim Teslav of Divrei Tzadikim was actually said, this is a real stretch, Sir Rakeach says this, so I'm not, I'm a Rakeach, it's Rakeach. I come from Rakeach. My great-great-grandfather was Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkes, who traced his lineage, Ben Achar Ben, six generations to the Rakeach. But then he had a son that died very young. He died. And he had a daughter. His daughter's name was Hadassah. Hadassah. And Hadassah married Rav Nosson Levine. And Rav Nosson Levine named their son after the son who died, Aaron. And he became the Reish Rav. And that's my great-great-grandfather. So I go back. I come pretty close to the Rakeach, the one marriage. But the Rakeach says that Yitzchak and Rivka were the ones who invented, recited this Nusach, or I guess something that was very closely resembles at least the end of the Nusach, when they were davening for a child. Vayetar Yitzchak l'noichach ishtoi ki akarahi. Vayeoseloi Hashem v'tahar Rivka ishtoi. Wouldn't you love to know what they said? Vayetar Yitzchak. What did Yitzchak say? What was his tefillah? What were the words that came out of his mouth to be mispalel to Hashem that he should have a child? What did Rivka say? So the answer is Nishmas. Somehow the words of Nishmas incorporate a chelik of what Yitzchak and Rivka said. The remes to this is the word Lenochach is Roshei Tevos Nishmas Kol Chai. Not in order. The word Nochach is Nun Ches Nun chaf ches le nun chaf ches no chach three, those three letters are Roshei Tevos Nishmas Kol Chai.
Now this sounds like a
Rokeach. That's a typical Rokeach. Okay, that's very, very fascinating. This is what he was mispal. Others want to say is that this was the tefillah that Yitzchak recited at the Akedah. At the Akedah, he was mispalel. Either everything should go well, according to plan, that he should indeed be sacrificed, he should not twitch and become a carpenter's apostle, or when the Akedah was over, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was released, by Malach Elokim said, Al tishach yotcha lanar, v'al tasla imbuma ki ato yodat ki yivei Elokim, so they were mispalel that Hashem should remember the zuchus of the Akedah for all generations. And at that moment in time, Chazal say, it was selected the zivuk for Yitzchak. Yitzchak's zivuk was selected at that moment in time. So therefore, that's why Rivka comes into play at this moment in time. There's a Chazal, that's when she comes into play. So that's why there's Yitzchak and Rivka, because this was the Nusach HaTfilah as we said at the time of the Akedah. Okay, now, so we have so far, let's just review. We have a lot of different ideas of when it comes out. Anshei Knesses HaGadolah, which is taking us back pretty much to the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Some say it came during the time of Christianity, which basically is at the end of the Bayis Sheni, the end of the Bayis Sheni, the beginning of Golus, Hanukkah Beitar. That was already the tkuf of when Christianity began to start, and really went on. Christianity developed over a 300-year period of time until it came the way we know it today. So at some point in time, and then we're going back even further. We're going, some say it's the Rabbanan Savaroi, during that time, or the time of the Goinim, some say, and then some take it all the way back to either to the Akedah, or some take it back in time, a little bit later in the Akedah, when Yitzchak and Rivka were being mispaled for a child. And that's why there's Yitzchak and Rivka, or some say Yitzchak and Rivka is nothing more than just the acrostic, who is the author of Nishmas Kol Chai, the main contributor, and it's unique then in that we have a mention of his wife. Because how often do you have a situation where you have an acrostic with someone's wife as being part of the acrostic? Now, by the way, Nishmas is always said before Yishtabach. Who was the Mechaber of Yishtabach? Yishtabach was written by either Shlomo HaMelech or Avraham Avinu. This is a legend. All the Sfarim say this. So what's interesting is that Nishmas was Yitzchak, and then afterwards we're Messiah with the Tzfilah by Avraham or by Yitzchak. Halacha, let's just a little halacha. Are you mechuyev to say Nishmas? Is it a minhag to say Nishmas? Or is it a chayva? A reshus, minhag, or chayva? Three different levels of obligation. In other words, it's Shabbos morning. You know, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood, so I'm not going to say Nishmas. Or
why don't
no.
You say it during the week, then?
What? So during the week, I'll get to the moment. We don't say it during that far. The only mitzvah is to say it on Shabbos. Shabbos, Yom Tov, and by the Seder. So the truth is, this is a major machlekes hapaiskim. According to the Ramah says it's a minhag. It's a minhag to recite Nishmas on Shabbos, just like it's a minhag to recite the other additions in Pesukei Dezimra. The Shulchan Aruch Harav Lubavitch, okay, the Shulchan Aruch Harav Lubavitch, Shlomo Zalman, he says it is a reshus. It's not even a minhag. It's lower madrega than a minhag. On the other hand, there are poskim who are the Chaye Adam. Okay, Rabbi Mayevsky is an enikol. The Chaye Adam, he says it's a chayva. It is an absolute obligation to recite Nishmas on Shabbos. Three major poskim: Ramah, minhag; Shulchan Aruch Harav, reshus; Chaye Adam, an obligation. Three major poskim, very different. L'may nafkamina, you come to shul and you don't have enough time to recite the entire Pesukei Dezimra. All you can say all you can say on Shabbos morning is Baruch Sh'amar, and you're going to say Yishtabach. Are you mechuyev to say Nishmas? Let's say you have a choice. Should I say Ashrei or Nishmas? Or other parts, which has priority? So that's the nafkamina. According to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first thing to skip is Nishmas. According to the Chaye Adam, without any exception, you must say Nishmas before you begin Birchas Yotzer Or. You must say it. According to the Ramah, no. L'chatchil has kedima over other things, but it's not something that you can skip easily, but it does have kedima over other sections of Pesukei Dezimra. So you see here a major machlokes hapaiskim, what is the dark, what is the degree of obligation in reciting Nishmas? Now, there's a lot of segulas would go along with Nishmas. There's very, very commonly Rav Chaim Pelage, the Ben Yishchai, especially among the Sfardim. I'm not a skula person. I really don't believe in skulas. To me, they don't have any appeal. But this somehow it resonates with me, this skula. The skula is that a person is an ace tzara. Whether any type of ace tzara, a person should say, he writes even in one, and you put your hand on the mezuzah, and you should say, Ribbono shel Olam, I am a kabbal upon myself, either with a neder, without a neder, that if you will save me from this particular tzara, or bring me a Yeshua, a mekabel that I will recite with kavana nishmas. And it works. It's supposed to work. It's supposed to provide for you a yeshua for a higher madrega of doing this is to say, I will recite nishmas in the presence of 10 people. That's a little bit harder. To find 10 people who are your friends, are willing to sit down and listen to you recite nishmas. Okay, this people they make a sudas hoida. The proper thing to do when a person makes a sudas hoida, rachmanos, a person is sick in a hospital or surgery, he has a problem in life, and then he survives and he makes a sudas hoida. The proper thing to do at a sudas hoida is to recite nishmas. Everyone there, or at least the person who's making the suda, he should recite in front of them nishmas. That makes it into a suda seida. Just to come together and have speeches and have some good food, that is not a suda seida. It's incomplete without the recitation of nishmas. There's some very interesting stories about nishmas. Almost nothing. Do you do say nishmas Shabbos after morning, sitting or standing? So what do all of you do? I would imagine most of you sit. Right, that's apparently the common meaning is to sit when you say nishmas. That's not so simple. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says you mechuyif to stand. Saying nishmas is in a category by itself. And Rav Chaim Vital, okay, he's a mekubal. He says you're supposed to stand when you say nishmas, just like we stand when we say yishtabach. And indeed, there are piyutim which mention the recitation of nishmas, and it's mentioned there in connection with standing. Okay, some people sit. He writes in the Stipler, he sat when he said Nishmas. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says you should stand. You see in shul, some do a different minhagim, what to do. He has a very interesting story from Rabbi Cheskel Bramsky. Is that his first name? Was Cheskel? Cheskel, Rabbi, you know who he was?
Sure.
His first name was Cheskel?
Yeah.
Cheskel. So he says that he was a young man. Rabbi Cheskel Bramsky was a young man. He was somewhere, I don't know where, in Russia, wherever he was. And
he went in Siberia for a few years.
And he went to a hotel, a motel, some type of inn, and the rooms obviously were like today where, you know, there's noise, he can hear what's going on in the other room. He woke up early in the morning and he heard there was a person in the other room was saying Nishmas very slowly and was translating into Yiddish Mila b'mila, every word of Nishmas with feeling and emotion. And he was overwhelmed, he was overtaken. Wow, who is this guy? Who's the guy in the other room that is saying at 5 o'clock in the morning Nishmas on a Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday morning in the middle of the winter, is saying Nishmas? He couldn't be massive. What's going on? And he checked later that day, it was the Chofetz Chaim. None of the Chofetz Chaim that said it in the middle of the night or middle of the morning. On a regular day, he was saying it, translating it word by word with a lot of feeling and hergish. That was the Chofetz Chaim's there. The Chofetz Chaim always used to give Hashem, talk to himself, talk to Hashem, and thank Hashem for having good children, for being mechaber svarim, having an opportunity to learn. That was the derech. It's very consistent with the derech of the Chofetz Chaim. He brings you a Rebbe Shemaisa. You know all the Rebbes. I don't know who these Rebbes are. I like this Maisa. The Bubba of a Rebbe, not this one. Obviously, probably a few Bubba Rebbes back. He used to say from Rav Mendela Liskar. You know who that is?
Rav Mendela
Liskar?
Yeah. Liskar, you're not a Bubba. Yeah. Huh?
No, the Bubba Rebbe would tell the story about Rav Mendela
Liskar.
Who's Rav Mendela Liskar? Who is he? Who was he? The father of the Rupshitz. The Aviv Shel Harav HaKodosh Rupshitz. Zuchus Yogi
Nalena. Oh, that's a different Liskar.
Okay, so the father of the Rupshitz Rebbe. So he says that the Rabbi Rebbe, this Liskar, when he would daven Friday, he was a very holy person. This must go back hundreds of years. I don't know how many, whatever it was.
Yeah, the Rabbi was, what do you call it?
How many hundred years? 300 years.
Of the Rebbe of Meilach.
So 300 years at least, right? At least 300 years.
The late 1700s.
So he was a very holy person, obviously. And when he would say Nishmas, he would faint. He was so worked up in Nishmas, he would literally faint. And it became a point when it became Bikuach Nefesh. So his wife, this is what it says here, this is what Baba Vareba would say over this Maisa, the wife went and she made for her husband Rogolach, or some type of food, something very sweet that he should keep in his pocket in shul. And if he faints, if he feels the doubt of fame when he says Nishmas during Pesukah the Zimra, he should put it in his mouth to revive him. And she did this, and it worked. It worked, and he never fainted. He always did this. He came to a point when he was mamish about to leave this world from this eirus, and he ate his ragloch. He eventually died, like everyone. His wife outlived him for many, many years, And then, when his wife was about to die, and they have all these spooky stories, they even say today these stories, that supposedly that when a person leaves this world, he has a kabbalas panim. People from the other world, they come to greet him, they come to take him, to come to escort him to the next world. So she was there, and she was about to die, and she was a geises, and all of a sudden she started looking and saying, she says, Mendela, zog nishmas. Mendela, zog nishmas. This was her, you know, her legend. She gave him this rogoach to keep this, and when he came, I guess this, I don't know if the story has any meaning to you, but somehow it resonated with me, this holy incident of nishmas. Okay, there's also someone to say that the word nishmas, where did it really come? There was a mice, there's a famous mice, Shahaya, where this is a famous story. You see the story written up, and it relates to nishmas and fits into the words of nishmas, is where there was once a pogrom or blood libel among the Arabs, not the Christians, the Yishma'elim, where they killed, they murdered an innocent Yishma'eli, a little boy, an Arab, and they took the boy and they planted evidence that he was killed by a Jew, and they threw him into the courtyard of the Jews. They called the police come, there's a dead Arab little boy in the courtyard of the Jews, and of course the Jews murdered the boy, they want his blood for matzah, who knows, whatever the maisa was. And it was real pikuach nefesh for the entire community. They were going to wipe out all the Jews. All the evidence was there. So the person there, who was it? Rabbi Kleinemus. That's Rashi. That's the one that Rashi quotes all the time. Rabbi Kleinemus. He was one of the Paitanim, the famous Paitanim of the generation. So he went and he did on him Techiyas HaMesim. Would you believe it? He brought the baby back to life. This child back to life. Techiyas HaMesim. This is the legend. Listen, they don't say these stories about us, so I'm just telling you what it says here. And they brought the child back to life, and the child told the people, the authorities, exactly what happened. That he was abducted by the Ishmaelim, and they killed him, and they planted the evidence, and they threw him into the Jewish courtyard in order to create a blood libel against the Jews. So you have over here the victim himself telling a report exactly what happened. So they discovered that the child was saying the truth, and as hakaras hatoiv to Hashem, recognition to be makir toiv, it's very similar to Hakdamas. Similar to the Hakdamas to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the Chesed that he saved the entire community by allowing this miracle to happen, where the baby came back to life and the baby can tell the people, the authorities, exactly what happened. Rabbi Kalonimus, a new author of Nishmas, composed Nishmas, and that's why we say the Nusach. It says Hamesiach Ilamim. Hashem causes the mute to speak and uncovers the secrets. Why is that expression part of Nishmas? Because it's exactly why Nishmas was composed, was because miraculously this baby who was dead, there's no greater Eli than the one who's dead, came back to life and revealed the secrets, exactly how this whole thing came about. So that's why that's included in the Nusach of Nishmas. Okay, now Nishmas, some say we say it on Yom Tov, on Shabbos. Why dafka on Shabbos? Because Nishmas is like you say, Nishmas Kol Chai. It's a hakara to the Neshama Yisera. It's a special Shevach when Neshama Yisera is giving to Hashem the whole week. It's the Guf, but on Shabbos we have a Neshama Yisera. It's the song of the Neshama Yisera. Nishmas also mentions all of the events of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That is why it's included in the Haggadah. Because in the Haggadah, we're always searching for source material that mentions the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's one of the main reasons why we append it to the Haggadah. Also, Nishmas focuses on, there's two Shabbos, there are two parts to Shabbos. Zohar and Shamar, one mentions Hashem created the world, and the other Dibros mentioned that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. There are two parts to be makir in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Number one, he created the world. Number two, he is the manig of the Bria. So Shabbos, in the Nusach HaTfilah, we focus Hashem was the creator of the world. But we also have to add into the Nusach HaTfilah Nishmas, which we're makir that Hashem is the manig. He did not abandon the world. He is intimately involved in the events, the occurrences of what is happening in this world. Now Nishmas, Nishmas, we say Nishmas, Ilu Finu Mole Shira Kayam. We have a contradiction in Nishmas. We start off by saying that the ilu finu mole shira kayamu lushanenu rina kamon galov v'sif sasenu shemach merchavakim. It's impossible. But yet, even though it's impossible, we do go on. But yet, we do go on to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu enormous praise. So there's really a stira. So how do we answer the stira? So we give them an interesting mashal. The mashal is, there was a king, and the king had a Jewish servant. And the Jewish servant was very successful. All of his friends who were non-Jews were jealous of him. So they told the king, they wanted to harm him. So they told the king, why don't you go and tell the servant to make on your behalf a banquet? But the servant has to pay from his own pocket all of the expenses. And you will see that he will be furious. He'll be in a state of depression at this banquet. Indeed, the king said, I want you, my servant, the Jewish servant, to make a banquet, and I want you to pay out of your own pocket. He made the banquet, and the entire banquet, he saw that he was very nervous, very depressed, very sad. So then this enemy said, tomorrow, tell the servant that he should make another banquet, but the state, the king, will pay for the expenses. So they made another banquet, and this time all of the expenses were paid for by the king, by the Malchus. So this enemy told, look at this, sir, your servant. When he had to pay for it, he was betzar. When you paid for it, he was besimcha. So you see, he doesn't really like you. Because if he really liked the king, he would be besimcha even when it comes out of his own pocket. So the king confronted this servant, and the servant said to him, it's just the opposite. When I had to pay for it, since it was on my account, I was pained, I should be doing more. It's not enough. I should invite more guests. I should have better food. More. I had tsar that I was not certain that I was able to give as much as I really could have done. But when you paid for it, I'm limited. This was the budget, so there's nothing for me to be paid about. It's exactly what it means in Nishmas. If it was our doing, when we say in Nishmas, Ein onu maspikim lehodos lecha, that refers to if it's us. When we begin Nishmas, and we focus on what is our obligation, then it's a ilufinu. If it was our obligation, mole shir kayam ulishoneinu, our tongue, rina kamon galav sifso seinu, if it was purely ours, then they neinu, our eyes, viodeinu, vragleinu, then einachanami ein anachnu maspikim lehodos lecha Hashem lekeinu lefoseinu v'chulu v'chulu. But when it comes to you, al kein evarim shepilakta banu. But when we focus on the fact that it's not us, it's not our mouth, it's not our obligation, it's what you, Hashem, have given us, then heim yoidu vivarichu vishabichu vifaru vichulu vichulu. So mamash, the mashal is perfect. That if it would be purely our obligation, we would be finished. There's no way in the world we can do it. But being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have given us the koyach to give you thanks. Therefore, everything is coming from you. Oh, it's on your cheshbon. When it's on your cheshbon, then we will do the best that we possibly can do to give you HaKadosh Baruch Hu shevach v'aydah for what you have given us. Okay, so it's a very, very serious thing. There are very great schools saying Nishmas, not something to be taken lightly. It is a beautiful, beautiful song of Sherech V'Haidah, which has a very long, great history. And at the very least, we should at least say it with a little kavana on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and the Lel HaSeder.